Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I'm so fancy, but you already know, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you here. I'm here, Marcus C. Speller. I'm joined by Luke A. Moore.
Flavour.
What's your middle name, Pete?
Very little imagination on behalf of my parents. I don't have a middle name.
And Pete Donaldson.
Feel free to nominate a middle name for me.
I think that's lazy. I think that's a perfectly
fun little
good
feature.
Opportunity to give someone a name and not give a name.
Bearing in mind my dad, Stuart, he was insisting on calling me Diggory Donaldson for a long time. I don't think he should be asked to come up with a third name.
That's it, Pete Diggory Donaldson.
Mm.
Or Pete Donald Donaldson.
I've always fancied Marmaduke.
That would be fitting.
The big dog.
Yeah.
Diggory
sexy
Donaldson
dog.
Sounds a bit like a sort of below par Death Row Records rapper. It wouldn't quite get his own record.
Diggory Donaldson.
Yeah, but he would get like a verse or two on a Snoop Dogg record.
Mixtape, like a mixtape. Yeah.
Or maybe, up there with Lady of Rage.
Or like a really bad mid-80s Spectrum game. Like Attic Attack.
Yeah, Diggory Donaldson.
Or Mummy.
Horace Goes Skiing, that's
yeah.
What,
yeah. Well, Diggory Donaldson's...
Don't have got Horace.
Diggory Donaldson's in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
He was a system seller, Luke. Mm.
Yeah, he was.
How about this, then? Alistair Darling and Alex Salmon, they debated Scottish independence this week. I'm sure many of you saw it. Now, if Scotland were to gain independence, and you, one of you two, and me, were asked to pick a new Prime Minister from the fabulous world of football, who would you go for, Luke?
First of all, alarm bells are ringing. How have I been given this job? There's a lot of responsibility.
You're thinking to yourself, this is not on the voting form.
No. You're thinking that this is a potentially sensitive question that could...
straight off the bat...
Could flood our inbox.
If I had a vote on this, which I don't, I would vote no to independence if it meant I personally had to choose the Prime Minister.
Oh, I see.
It's too much responsibility. But
this is my question.
For the purpose of the question,
yes.
Which is for illustrative purposes only,
yes.
I'll go for Big Terry Butcher.
Okay. Yeah. And he'd be up for that.
Yeah, he's operated north of the border before.
He has, with mixed success. he said that when he got fired from Hibs, apparently he said, I think my visa's run out, and he moved back to England.
Did he?
But I think this could be the big jug to tempt him back north of the border.
Is that what they told him? Your visa? I thought we were all just on a British passport. Yeah, sorry, Tell.
No.
Since devolution. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, well, you must be right. You wouldn't lie to me. No, none of us would do that.
Have you got the little visa ticket in your passport? That's a square sausage.
Hey! He's taken Hibs down from the top flight because he wants him to be part of the important Scottish League.
Which we may well come on to later. Ooh. I don't know. I haven't seen that far down the running order.
I mean, if worse comes to worse, he can do the old play the patriotism card. Lest we forget, Big Terry Butcher was... I think he played for England in 3 World Cups.
Yeah.
He's up there.
Certainly 2, yeah.
Yeah, he's up there. So, I mean, he's had a great career. He's obviously not really
so
got
you're
a
saying an England international is well qualified to lead Scotland. By the way, if they're...
He's got a foot in both camps. That's all I'm saying.
So negotiations, that crucial sort of year and a half of deals that may go on if Scotland do get their independence.
He's your middleman.
I mean, I can't stress enough, ladies and gentlemen, this is a pure fantasy question and it doesn't represent our actual views on the issue of Scottish independence. So please, if you are going to email us or tweet us or anything in an angry response to this, just don't bother.
No.
Pete.
Tony Yeboah.
Nice.
Just because...
I like it already.
Whatever the question is, be shale gas, North Sea oil... I don't know. The question
volleys
of how
the
they got
from 40 yards.
Well, he would just dispense a volley from the box, really, and sort of everybody would be like, "Wow, I don't even care what the question was. I don't care that all of our litter's not getting collected. I don't care that heroin use is at an all-time high in Scotland."
Yeah,
I
may or may
care.
Not be. Not our views.
I like the idea that Yeboah.
We've all been there. Probably is
that Yeboah in the interview.
Look at his face.
This is your idea.
I know. I already regret it.
Let me wrestle it back to reality. I like the idea that Tony Yeboah, in every interview for every job he ever has, just answers everything with a volley.
Yeah.
So you want to be in the Prime Minister of Scotland? Yes, I do. What are you going to do about litter? I'll volley it into the bin. What are you going to do about the heroin problem? I'll volley it into their veins. Every single thing.
Out of the veins.
Well, in then out.
And then I'll volley the dealers into jail.
Yeah. Exactly, the solution is always volleys for a question nobody asks.
And then towards the end of the interview, with the final question, Tony, please don't answer this referencing a volley. They ask him the question, he doesn't say anything, he just looks down, points to his right foot. I just nod.
Did you watch the 50-year match of the day?
Yeah, it was great to see him.
Best bit was Yeboah.
Yeah.
The best, but well, okay.
The bits that weren't Barry Davis.
Yeah. More on him in a short while, ladies and gentlemen.
The most gloriously top-heavy footballer ever. He's just sort of, just the balance of that man.
He's got a massive head, Yeboah.
He's got a massive head. He's got a couple of headers, though, didn't he? But yeah,
he must have done.
I hope so. The law of averages dictates that he must have at some point.
He's got some gravitational pull.
Yeah.
Indeed. I go for...
Wrestle it back. Wrestle it back, Marcus.
I don't know if I can.
Like you're wrestling a Glaswegian drunk into the back of a paddy wagon.
Tony Yeboah's head's got its own weather system. That's how big it is.
The obvious choice for me was obviously Craigie Bruton. Because no matter what the result, he'll win.
When I saw this question, I thought this might well be a very thinly veiled effort to try and get Craig Brown into the Ramble early doors.
Well, yeah. I thought, I can't get Sven in, so I'll get Craig Brown in somehow. But, I mean...
Sven would take it if the money's right, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. We can all agree on that. Craig Brown, no matter what the result, he would manage to sort of say, well, actually, you know, we've been working on getting more potential voters. And it appears that we have more than the ones who won.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be... He would be fine.
Craig, he's a diplomat.
Craig, out of 8 million...
He is a diplomat, you've got to say that. Actually, he would be the diplomat.
He could work to the right hand of Terry Butcher, perhaps.
Or Archie and Walter.
What about
Archie and Walter?
Yeah, fair enough.
They boot that any country.
But Craig Brown runs
into the
and gets one vote.
Yeah.
Out of 8 million.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't a nothing result.
You like to think if those two are at the helm, like Scotland would instantly be at war with the Ukraine or something. How did this even happen?
Yeah, with Walter.
How have you allied yourself? What?
Don't worry, I sent Archie to sort it out.
Yeah, yeah, but you can imagine though.
Come back, we're at war. Brilliant.
Yeah, we're at war, mate. Oh.
Yeah, but if Alistair Darling was debating Walter Smith, although he wouldn't be because the independents would have been won by then, but just bear with me, bloody hell. Yeah. Obviously,
give him 5 years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Darling would be saying, and Walter would just look into the crowd, and he would go, Archie, you getting this? Oh, is he talking shite again? One again. Yeah. So so there we are, ladies and gentlemen. If there is anybody from Scotland listening, which I'm sure there is, please don't be offended by that. And if you are, then switch off.
Don't patronise. I got something for you, man. It's fine.
No, exactly, that's what I'm saying. Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Who's won that? I think I have, with Archie and... and Walter, that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds fine, yeah.
I want independence from this show after this.
What, like Jim Campbell?
Like Jim has, yeah.
Is that why? That's why he was up there, getting some tips.
He's stuck there now. But if this comes out before he goes back, he might get lynched.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a man behind enemy lines. Yeah.
Not enemy lines. They're still a part of the union.
Well, who's Donaldson, for crying out loud?
Diggory Donaldson.
Him again. Right, let's move on to the Premier League. In big, nasty old London, Spurs played QPR, and Spurs won 4-0. They looked much better.
Can I just get this point across before I forget?
Is this a redknapp point?
No, I think Mella...
Yes,
is,
Lamella.
Yeah, no, but Mella is Italian for apple. So when Eric Lamella was playing in Italy, I think he might have been Eric the Apple.
Are you sure?
I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
So from now on, he shall be known as Eric the Apple, and he played very well.
Well, yeah, how'd you
he
like...
was the apple of Spurs' eye.
How'd you like that apple?
Yeah. No, the apple.
Yeah.
Fiona apple.
He did look much better. I mean, it must be... I mean, if Lamella's there when Sherwood was, although he'd probably been on loan at that point, he probably thinks to himself, how am I going to communicate with this guy? Is this going to guy understand the way I play football? Mm. Pochettino, fellow Argentinian, comes in much more tactically aware.
I don't think Lamella went on loan, did he? He was just in the
just in the background, was he?
Yeah, he's in the doldrums.
Yeah,
he had his
fair share of injuries. Didn't go on loan.
Okay, that's right. Sorry,
but you said that at the time he was having trouble with HR getting his passer sorted out, wasn't he? With HR, so that's why he didn't play for them.
But I mean,
I know what you mean, though. A man just come in. Maybe a bit in common.
Yeah.
Put a bit of confidence in him. Of course.
Because he had trouble settling in, which is
absolutely
understandable for a young man moving. Mm. I mean, he's already made one hell of a move from Argentina to Italy.
Yeah.
I mean, the two countries are obviously more similar than Argentina and England. Yeah,
also,
exactly, yeah. So, you know, we often forget, you know, there's a bloody human being behind that shirt.
Well, yeah. You do sometimes, don't you? And you kind of take for granted moving... You know, I moved out of Leicester when I was 18, and I was like, this is like a different world.
Yeah.
Everyone's strange.
How long did it take you to settle?
Oh, I had to learn the language first. But it's like the...
What English word?
I was reading about that guy who featured on the footballramble.com that Kelly put, the Japanese kid. He's not a kid, he's like 27, 28.
Oh,
who's like born to Dutch mother and father,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Who live in... I can't remember his name now. Is it Eric something? No. But he...
Eric the Apple.
He does... He always does press conferences in English, even though he's fluent Japanese, fluent English, and
fluent
can speak
Dutch.
Quite a lot of Dutch as well.
Right.
So I find that man fascinating.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's well, Owen Hargreaves was obviously quite interesting as well, but perhaps not as...
Did you say more cultured? Sure.
Lewis Holtby as well, and Eric Dyer, who's obviously started off very well, Englishman, but grown up in Portugal.
Mm.
I think that Spurs played very well against QPR from what I saw. I don't want to put the kibosh on what Spurs have achieved so far, because they're top of the league and they deserve to be there, but QPR looked very poor, I thought. They didn't really know what they were doing. Oh, sorry, Spurs were up there, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
QPR didn't really... I don't think they've adopted this new system very well at all. And of course, Spurs scored that amazing 48 pass goal, which was amazing. But I was
double the most of passes for a build up for goal than compared to last season.
I was the only one thinking QPR really should be getting closer to this. They should be getting a bit closer.
It was a bit like those kind of grainy YouTube clips you see from like Africa or something like that. It's kind of like, I'd have scored 41 goals. I wonder how that happened. It's kind of like, well, you need to defend at some point. Somebody needs to put a foot in at some point. There was a lot
just
of fucking off.
Someone.
Just spit at the ref. Do anything.
But a lot of the passes, of course, were in Spurs' half.
Of course, yeah.
Don't you? I'm not taking anything away.
Yes, you are. That's exactly what you're taking away.
I am, aren't I?
Do you reckon watching Spurs play in that way and play so well, against admittedly a QPR side that look quite poor at the moment, but do you think that AVB was watching that thinking, oh, bloody hell, because they were hassling Harry and pressing really high, you know, really getting on top of things. And then did that too under AVB. Now, of course, Pochettino has to get his ideas across, and he deserves a lot of credit for doing that. He's done what, which I always say, I know, which is a bit boring, but he's done what Martinez did last season, got them to adopt his ideas very quickly.
Yes.
And they've gone from Sherwood, who is obviously a poor manager, or an inexperienced one at best, to a manager who clearly is a training ground coach. He knows what he wants, he knows what he's doing, and who can get his ideas across there and then whilst making that manifest itself during the game as well. And Spurs could have a big season. I know you don't want to be too sort of reactionary and sort of jump on the bandwagon, but they look very strong, and I think they've got a good chance of beating Liverpool next weekend, you know.
Well, they've made a good start, and this is always the chat at the start of the season. Oh, is this the year that we could make Champions League or whatever it may be? But the Premier League is a fascinating beast these days. And we saw last year, I mean, nobody would have thought Liverpool would have pushed Man City. Yes, Man City won it in the end, and everyone tends to go for Manchester City or Chelsea. But, you know, a few injuries or a coach spectacularly falling out with someone. The modern game, actually, we hate it because people are so fickle. And I'm not saying that that's a good substitute for perhaps what went before, but it does make it quite interesting that suddenly somebody can have a fall from grace and it can all change.
Well, I think they haven't gone transfer crazy like they have done in the past.
Well, they bought for a few seasons.
But I think there's been bigger stories in the transfer market, and I think people have kind of almost forgotten Spurs
to a certain extent.
And I think that's quite helpful, to be honest. There's less pressure on the squad.
Yeah, definitely.
On fringe players who may be breaking into the squad, sort of going, oh, well, who are we going to sign next then? Because like that's all anyone's talking about. There's been bigger transfer stories.
Yeah, completely. And the media, as you say, media spotlight off the club. Actually, we don't know what a big help that can be sometimes.
Have you heard about this sort of Spurs, in quote, special relationship with Real Madrid they've apparently got now?
Really?
Where it looks to me like apparently...
Well, they got Adebayor and they got Bale.
Yeah, no, basically...
Adebayor's a good place.
It looks like Spurs have apparently got this agreement with Real Madrid where they just deal with transfers and stuff. And... But Spurs went to get Morata. Real Madrid was like, no, you're not having him. Yeah. Like, that's not happening. And then Real Madrid just took Bale, didn't they? So we're having him. And then
I don't know if they just took him. It did take a while, and Spurs got a whopping fee.
I mean, though, the Spurs don't really seem to be that adept at getting players that Real Madrid don't want anymore. I mean, they didn't get a lot of other players. But I was going to go on to say that...
seemed very pally with Man United by all accounts, yeah, Real Madrid.
Daniel Levy did his ice bucket challenge for the show.
Oh, yeah, he nominated.
Nominated Florentino Perez. Let's be mates, please. Can we still be mates?
Who did it with warm water, yeah, quite blatantly. Yeah. If he ever does it at all.
Perez probably picked up the phone, I'll buy that bucket off you. Yeah. 5 million. And Levy went, 10 million. No. All right. Oh, damn.
Yeah. I mean, under Pochettino, Spurs, obviously it's only two games in, and they were fortunate to get a win in the first one. We can't forget.
But Dyer looks really good. Looks like a good player. He's hit the ground running.
Yeah, blimey.
And of course, they're about to move Michael Dawson on, and Cabal's got his injury problems, so they're going to need a player like that. Mm. I wonder whether they thought he could slot in straight away. I wonder whether Pochettino genuinely thought he'd be there straight away. He scored such a nice header. That was a great goal.
It was a lovely goal. The style of play Pochettino plays, and Dyer growing up in Portugal, you'd think he would be able to slot in, perhaps.
Technically very good, as you'd expect.
Yeah. I mean, is that...
Technically better than Michael Dawson, I think we can agree on.
Yeah, there's no shaking heads in this studio.
No.
I think it is interesting, because we don't have many examples at all of English players learning, or at least plying their trade at a decent league abroad, and then coming back to see how... tactically adept they are quite quickly. We see a lot of that with some of the foreign players that come over, and obviously they slot in. Some do, some don't. So it would be interesting to see if more English players did go abroad. Would they actually? Could you see that they've learned the tactics a little bit better?
It's galling when you sort of hear someone like Ashley Cole sort of mouthing off, going, "Oh, more players should go abroad." It's like you've done it in the twilight of your bloody career, mate. You know, don't give us that crap. Yeah. You made hay while the money sun shone into your wallet.
Yeah, but to be fair to Ashley Cole, he has won pretty much everything to win at club level at Chelsea. So, I mean, and the other thing is that the Premier League pays so well that it's difficult for them to justify going overseas, I think. There's so much money swirling around the Premier League, and all their roots are here. I think what you were saying earlier when you moved to Leicester at 18,
it's a big move.
I know it's a flippant point, but I mean, it is a big thing to be moving away from home for the first time. And a lot of these players are very young, aren't they? Yeah. And the nature of the beast is...
Younger than 18.
Yeah, indeed. And the nature of the beast is that your career's over quite young when you're a footballer. So
I think
we've got an Ireland mentality and stuff like that as well. But I agree, it would be better overall.
Well, it would be more interesting. That's all the point, really, I was making there.
I'd like to think I would do it if I had the opportunity. I would be up for it.
Yeah.
So I think I've still got another move in me. So if anyone's listening.
Football ramble loss.
But under AVB, obviously, you know, he's a decent tactician by many accounts, but a bit of a prickly character and has fallen out with players. Sherwood is Tim Sherwood.
Well, he lost the battle with the media, I think. I think Sherwood did, as well.
We know what Sherwood's shortcomings
are. Sherwood had a bit of a head start compared to...
What was Sherwood's problem, by the way?
Oh, hang on. Well, we'll cover that with Palace.
Okay, right. Yeah.
But the point wasn't centred around Sherwood. I'm just saying that the point is more centred around Spurs now have a manager who Southampton and their players certainly liked him and seemed to get on well with him. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I'm guessing. The things I've heard would suggest. He's gone into Spurs. He's done that. He speaks two languages, so he'd be able to. I don't know if there's many Spanish speaking ones in there, but he's got a good pedigree.
Well, Soldado's one he could turn around, maybe.
Yeah, well, Lamela, of course. He's got good Premier League experience now after a season. What's the point I'm making here? You know, likeable guy, obviously good tactician as well. And maybe we know what footballers are like. There's a lot of egos in that Spurs dressing room. I'm sure there's more elsewhere in the country. But he's come in there, a little bit of stability, likeable guy. And is that just what they needed from last season? Yeah. You had so many new faces. And if you've got a load of new young guys from very different places, you need a manager to get them on board. And certainly to give them a good welcome and a good initial experience. And perhaps AVB didn't do that.
Yeah. I think it's a fair point, yeah.
So, I know. But
we'll see how the season pans out.
But the funny thing is, we're making such a big deal of it. It's only two games in, and they were poor in the first game.
Yeah.
So
they've got Liverpool next week.
Exactly. Yeah. So
Spurs the title. Come on.
Yeah, so just forget all about that, ladies and gentlemen.
2014, 2015 Spurs squad into the team with us all of them.
We can't miss QPR here, I'm afraid, QPR fans. They have signed Leroy Fer. I don't think he's the knight in shining armour, but he's a decent signing, I suppose. But 4 wins out of 27 Premier League matches for Redknapp at QPR,
it's not good enough in the slightest.
I think
this 3-5-2 thing they've taken on board looks to me that it's still being road tested, really, which is worrying, because if you remember when Mark Hughes was fired at QPR, imagine they go 16 games without a win at the start of the
season.
And you know, it was no coming back from that. Of course, we're only 2 games in, but they play, I think, Sunderland at home at the weekend, which will be a game they really need to use to get their season going.
Well, this is why after that Hull City game, we thought, oh, QPR fans,
you've got to make those ones count.
Missed penalty, some good chances.
Absolutely.
Oh dear. It's a long old season. Good win for West Ham away to Crystal Palace. I think it was their first win at Selhurst since 1991. But the best thing about the whole event
was Jerry Francis' hair on the bench.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What a haircut that is. It's the worst haircut in football worldwide. It is, isn't it?
Of all time, or
I saw him flash past on Match of the Day.
Yeah.
On the bench.
He's had that haircut for years.
I think he's assisting Keith Millen still, so that's why he's there.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I made a mental note. I thought, at some point between now and the round, I'm going to have to go on his Wikipedia page to find out what he's doing. I went on his Wikipedia page, I'm pretty sure it said he's still assistant to Keith Millen. But under, like, either, I can't remember off the top of my head, but either under media work or personal life, you know, those sections, it said, Jerry Francis is known for his unerring loyalty to the mullet haircut. Seeing that, I agree.
I
used to quite like Jerry Francis because he reminded me of a pre... Yeah, it was pre-Jurgen Klinsmann, I suppose, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't remember.
Well, he was certainly...
He was there for a few years.
Yeah, and then, my friend worked in a, like, kind of mobile phone... like a phone agency where we'd have to ring up customers and ask if they were satisfied, and Jerry Francis actually rang in to try and blag a mobile phone and said, I'm Jerry Francis, ex-manager of Spurs, and it kind of put me off him for the rest of the...
Did it work?
No, he didn't get a free phone because he's Jerry Francis.
Can't get anything these days.
Whose phone wants to be associated to be in that close proximity with that haircut?
It's memorable.
It's memorable.
No such thing as bad publicity. That's what P.T. Barnum, famous circus guy, said. Don't care what you say about me, as long as you get my name
right. Spell my name correctly, yeah.
Jerry Francis, don't care what you say about me, as long as you get my hair in the shot. Right, that's Crystal Palace West Ham done, what's next?
Oh, no, we've got to mention Barry Davis at least. Come on. Hasn't his
bro got really deep?
Yeah.
He's got deeper. You get deeper as you get older.
I know. As Ian McIntosh said on Twitter, nobody says, oh, like Barry Davis.
But it's somehow got more...
He also did
a classic Barry Davis, which sounds like one of those things that was so good you think he's got... I've said that before sometime, when he said, Martin Kelly on the right, he's got 4 heads to find. And he stumbled and he went, he's got to find his feet first. This is just brilliant.
That is great, isn't it?
And also, Barry Davis uses a phrase that no other commentator uses. Mm. Maybe because I think it might sound amateurish under another commentator's voice, but when Barry Davis does it, it sounds brilliant. He always says, good try.
Yeah.
Good try. You don't hear that very often, do you? Good try.
But he would often use different, slightly different phrases, like penalty competition.
Yeah.
Which would sound very odd if it was from...
It was great to have a commentator that doesn't talk incessantly all the time.
Well, it was great to have a commentator as well who treated the game like it's a game.
Yeah.
And when Downing scored, he can have a crack here. Oh, and he does! Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Was he calling Shamak Sharmak as well?
That's fair. You know, but I love it. That's the way to do it. Hey, we're watching football. This is fun. Yeah. Forget about the millions and billions of pounds. It's football, you know? Yeah. I love that.
And he did the interviews with the managers afterwards as well. He did, didn't he?
He did. I love what he asked Keith Millen. He said, you don't know if you'll be in charge of this club by the end of the week, or do you?
Is that what he said? Yeah, nice.
Nice. So good, so good. But also, he does comment on particular bits of action whilst giving a good opinion. Mm. When Zarate ran through and he took a touch there that he desperately didn't want.
Yeah. But I think it's more than just...
I love that.
It's not nostalgia, though, for me. It's just hearing a man who knows what the hell he's doing.
A master of his craft.
Yeah, just a man who's been doing it long enough to give a toss about incessantly talking about sod all.
I think, Pete, I mean, I'd be very interested...
Guilty!
In your you're some broadcaster yourself, so, I mean, you must see it.
Well, I see a lot of myself in him, really.
Yeah.
He's very much the pretender to my massive crown.
Yeah, I agree.
My massive radio crown.
I agree 100% with that.
What a crown it is. But it was a great performance from West Ham. Mm.
Yes, the good thing about West Ham...
Needed.
It was needed. I think is that Big Sam's doing a really good job under intense pressure, speculation around his job. He deserves credit for that, because we take the piss out of him quite a lot. I mean, and a lot of times rightly so. But he is doing a good job there under constant speculation. And the other thing which is really encouraging for West Ham fans is not just...
Carlton Cole scored.
How could they look against Palace is the signings he's made. Mm. Zarate, of course, he's a bit unpredictable and he possibly was lucky to stay on the pitch, and you'll always get that with him.
Mm. But he's obviously a good player.
Aaron Cresswell, probably the best fullback in the Championship last season. He's settled in nicely. That Kiarte looks really good in the middle, very strong and impressive. So the signings have done well as well.
Well, their season's going to rise and fall apropos their goal scoring exploits, really, isn't it?
I mean, apropos.
See, in the mouth of a more amateur broadcaster. That would have sounded a bit Partridge.
When Barry Davis hears you go apropos, he's going to listen and go, good try.
Yeah. Oh! That's what he'd say.
What a contrast to the previous Donaldson.
Yes. But it was a good win for West Ham. They didn't take the chances against Spurs. And it did look like you thought to yourself, oh no, are they... I mean, they're creating chances, so that's the important thing.
Yeah.
But
are
they going to... Who have they got on the end of it? That's the worry. Crystal Palace, you're going to score goals. I fear for the rest of their season.
Well, I don't...
Palace have got no direction, have they? The problem with Palace at the moment is that if Keith Millen doesn't know he's going to keep the job or not, then he can't go to, there's 5 or 6 days or whatever it is before the transfer deadline. He can't go to Steve Parish and go, well, give me this player, this player, and this player, because Steve Parish is going to go, well, I don't know if you're going to be the manager or not.
Yeah. And if someone's umming and ahhing about leaving, they're going to be like, well, I might as well get out of Dodgy, because this season could get a hell of a lot worse than it's already got.
And also, the final thing is Steve Parish needs to hire someone, because he doesn't hire someone, they're not going to have enough time to sign the players they want.
Mm. Well, it was quite funny, wasn't it, when the camera went on Steve Parish, who was sat next to Mark Bright.
Good hair. Better hair than Jerry Francis.
Yeah.
And he was on the phone.
Yeah. We sat next to Mark Bright and Barry Davis said, oh, and who would swap seats with that man? I thought, well, Mark Bright can't be that bad to watch.
He is. Okay. Steve Parish on the phone to Malky going, I know it was banter, but some people haven't seen it that way.
Well, a lot can happen in a week of football. And Luke, you said last week that you fancied Malky Mackay for the job.
Because it was just banter.
You said on the way here that you still do, am I right?
No, you are not right in saying that. I think that Malky Mackay did a good job at Cardiff to get them promoted and he earned his right to manage in the Premier League. I still think that. But of course, in light of what's happened now, you can't realistically hire him, so I understand that.
And when we're finding new faults for managers, his text messages let him down.
Yeah.
I think what we're saying here.
Yeah. He says out of 300, there's only three that were... Well, you still said it though, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's still an indicative of your wider thoughts.
Do you want to see my other text messages? Because some of them are really good. No. Doesn't negate what you've already done.
I want to know what was replied to the one that said not many white faces in that lineup. I want to go, what's your point, Malky?
Yeah, what are you trying to
say? So you're running a football club, you tit.
Would you like to see my realies, Malky? in response to the falsies.
I really like the one... I bet you wouldn't mind a bounce on her falsely.
Yeah.
It's like really. I mean,
it's confusing. You've got to sit there and have a good old think about what that is. Yeah. Is that what part of the body
what,
is that? I'm
but
confused.
What are you trying to achieve here anyway? Yeah. Who are you trying to impress?
How would you bounce? I was thinking logistics more than anything else, to be honest.
It does show you that that Tan certainly was biding his time with that, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
But I
don't know
he's
whether.
He's a very successful man, let's not forget.
I don't know if that's true. I think that he might have filed that report a while ago and it's only just come to light. I think
at a very convenient moment.
Well, not really. Because if you think about it, if Vincent Tan really cared about that, he would have done it after Malcolm Carr took the job. Caused maximum damage.
Mm. So, not necessarily, because he then...
maximum damage.
Yeah. but then he stops...
Well, it depends how he stopped... Ultimately, that report has stopped the man getting the job.
Yeah, because he wants to stop Palace getting what he considers to be a manager who could do an all right job there because of the way Crystal Palace were perceived to have got one over on them with the team sheet thing last season.
Mm. Well, who knows? I mean,
Tim Sherwood wants nothing to do with it.
Well, Tim Sherwood pulled himself out of the race when he said, "Well, they just obviously want Mackay, so I'm gonna step aside."
Yeah, I don't want to be second choice. Yeah. Didn't you undermine AVB to get the job at Spurs and literally be second choice then? And now you're a man who's done 6 months at a Premier League club, with mixed success. You're a bit of a risible character, and you're turning down Premier League jobs based in London, are you? Is that what's happened? What do you expect you're going to get, Tim Sherwood? The thing, if he wants to turn down Palace, fine. But what I'd like to know is what job he expects to get. Liverpool
might
have
been... Stop having to cry about
it.
He
never turned down Palace per se. He thought that they were going for Mackay, so he said, well, you can't not choose me because I take myself out of the running. And,
yeah, it's pathetic.
And now Mackay's not in the running, he's probably thinking, ah.
No, he's coming out saying he doesn't want to be considered after Mackay. Well, yeah. If you really rate yourself that highly, which you clearly do, take the job and tell how good you are.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, Marcus, to put it in perspective, what job does he think he's going to get?
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
In my view, I think Sherwood should be starting off down, somewhere. I know they've got a manager now and he's doing okay, but somewhere like Charlton. Prove yourself and work your way up.
We said this
like a lot of managers have to do. It's completely arrogant and ridiculous, I think.
What about the League Managers Association? They kind of put they're really in the custard, didn't they?
Yeah.
They, obviously the texts that Mackay sent were... There was a bit of racist, sexist, homophobic and anti-Semitic. All the
major food groups.
Yeah, all the shite stuff coming,
nothing
really.
If not efficient. I mean, over the course of just three text messages, I think.
Dear, dear. The League Managers Association did the old Richard Keys and said it was just friendly banter.
I said, I know.
I mean, incredible. Like, yeah. Bearing in mind how many levels of kind of administration that would have had to have gone through.
Mm.
At every point, everyone went, yeah, that's fine, yeah, that's fine, yeah, that's... Oh, there's a shitstorm.
I'm not a PR expert myself, but generally it's probably considered to be doing a bad job if you have to release another statement less than a day after the one you already did.
How many sort of just fucking tired old fat white men have they got to be in that area?
It's going to be another LMA statement just saying, sorry about that.
Yeah. Sorry about that last week. We're twats.
It was just banter. Yeah, no, banter. Fine.
No. There's a lot of banter in football. That's something we've all learned, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you say banter, and we say horrific abuse. Yeah. Perhaps, I don't know. Make your own minds up, ladies and gentlemen. Poor old Crystal Palace, though. The fans, they're the ones who are suffering there because, as you say, they want to know what's going on.
It's worrying times for them. It really is.
It really is. Hopefully, that can be sorted out very, very soon.
Well, it's not because they're back in the Premier League as well. It's not like
they stayed in the Premier League,
a championship problem. It's like this is our big, we made a load of money coming up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I know.
Spend enjoy on it. Something. Yeah, exactly.
At the other end of the table, Everton versus Arsenal was a great game. It was 2-2. Great start from Everton. Mm. But Arsenal fought back.
They did.
They fought back. They showed a bit of character, Giroud and Ramsey. Shame that Giroud's got a bit of an injury there.
Looks to be a broken foot, doesn't it?
That's more than a bit of an injury. A few months.
3 months, yeah.
That's such a shame, isn't
it? Such an Arsenal injury.
I know. Such a key player. I mean, Sanchez was playing up the middle, and I think Wenger quite fancies him in that role, which he did play well for Barcelona, as we said before.
I don't think it's a very good fit for Arsenal. I don't think he was very effective. Of course, he's still fine on his feet, but I don't think it's very effective. I think it's a poor initial selection by Wenger, and they had to really battle back when they brought Giroud on. But I still think they need someone to really dominate the middle of the pitch, Arsenal.
Mm.
I know they've got Flamini and Arteta, but they're slightly different.
They should have enough in there, though. I mean, Ozil, for crying out loud, was so many good players.
But he can't really dominate the middle of the park, that's the problem. And I think Everton are a good team. They're certainly a good team at home. And Arsenal, I don't know, they look a little bit soft-centred.
Naismith hit the ground running for Everton.
He's good.
Him and Lukaku are looking very dynamic up front.
The nuisance, isn't he? He's the nuisance.
He is the nuisance.
Lukaku terrorised Arsenal again. he did it last season, didn't he?
But they often struggle with that, a big bustling forward. How many times did Drogba do that to Arsenal? But
Lukaku, Andy Carroll scored a couple of goals against him.
Yeah. I mean, look, Drogba was a fantastic forward. You know, he did that to a lot of teams.
But it's quite
glaring when he does it consistently to one of the sides who would fancy themselves
for
the league every season.
Arsenal are lucky that there's not a huge amount of strikers with that kind of physicality, I think, to a certain extent. Yeah.
But would you be annoyed as an Arsenal fan if you've seen last season Martinez very specifically deploy Lukaku on the right to dominate Monreal? He does it so effectively, they batter him 3-0. Okay, this time around they got a draw out of it, but he still did it again. I mean, the second goal,
he completely dominated
the defenders and just breezed past them. Callum Chambers, a bit of an experience there trying to dive in. He's not going to win that, but you can maybe forgive that because he's young. But they didn't learn their lessons from the first time round, or last season time round.
But they did get a point.
Exactly.
Well, bearing in mind that they used sort of Sanchez, like, he's at his best where he's cutting in from the outside and just kind of piercing into the 18-yard box. But they just didn't use him like that yesterday. No, day before yesterday.
Yeah.
Bugh.
Whenever.
Stinking.
Chelsea beat Leicester City 2-0. Oh, David Nugent, the difference.
Let's call that one-on-one what it so clearly was, a fantastic save.
Good try. He looked
over at the linesman when he ran through, and of course he wasn't the difference. He became the indifference, Peter, if you will.
It was a great save.
It was such a shame,
the keeper had everything to do.
I tell you what, my Twitter would have exploded if he had scored. Dear.
There's certain events where if I see it coming up on the BBC video printer, I think, yep, that's my phone gone off for the next...
Lambert goal. Nugent goal.
Yeah. Townsend in and around.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Whenever Sven's in the papers, my goodness, my lights up. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I love the attention. I'll be honest.
Indeed,
I place the phone over my crotch and just enjoy. vibrations.
Good vibrations. Mm. It was a shame he never put that one away. Leicester played well. I've been very encouraged by that. Yeah. They made it difficult for Chelsea. Diego Costa.
Stinking start, really, like lineup wise.
They've had such a bad fixture list. Yeah, it's going to be difficult for them. But they do look okay, don't they?
Yeah. Are we talking about Chelsea?
I'm talking about Leicester.
No, I know, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Chelsea, they did labour to the win. But people saying that Chelsea are a lot of many favourites, which is understandable, and don't they look good? But they've only beaten two newly promoted sides.
Yeah.
I still think they've solved the problems that they had last season. I think they'll go very close.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Pete, you agree?
No, but I'm not going to tell you why.
Fabregas, he's slipped back into the old routine, isn't he?
If you want to guess why, voice at the Football Ramble.
Is it a flat back four?
Yeah. speaking of which, Hull had to go to a flat back four. Chester was sent off early on against Stoke City. Was that a sending off?
I haven't seen that.
I've not seen that.
It was terrible, down to me then, isn't it?
It's a big vacuum, isn't it?
Don't know.
Sure, the football around the dot .com. I keep saying .co.uk. We don't have
so
a dot
parochial.
UK.
I know, eh? Stop hanging on to the union.
Like Prince or Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
If you are in one of the Commonwealth countries, from the Norfolk Isles to Jersey.
I was thinking more close to home, but yeah, fine. I thought Stoke... with Shawcross, it was goal line technology was used. It was unnecessary. It was well in.
Boys with their toys.
Fine.
Same with Liverpool goal.
Yeah, did they use it on the Lambert one? Because I didn't see.
They didn't see it on the telly.
Yeah, because it wasn't given to Lambert, was it?
No, it was given to Zabaleta own goal.
It was a Zabaleta own goal.
I'm still calling it a Lambert goal.
Yeah, in that game, Jovetic. I mean, he's it's good to see him playing.
Play very well, yeah.
I think he only started two games last season. Yeah, so
but, I mean, with injuries around Dzeko and Aguero, I mean, he's going to be a big player for them if he can stay fit. He could do something this season. He was very good. He terrorised Liverpool anyway, didn't he? Did you see that bit on Monday Night Football about it? Scored a couple for Fiorentina against them, apparently. Scored, I think, in the pre-season game against them for City. Scored two, obviously, on Monday night. So, I mean, he's obviously got Liverpool's number at this point.
There's nothing more distracting than Jesus Navas.
I thought you were going to say Balotelli in the stands.
Well, there's that. And my mum actually texts me going, God, Balotelli's a bit ugly, isn't he? He's not known as being particularly ugly. And then I said, have a look at Jesus Navas. And she googled him and she went, yeah, he's pretty. He's a pretty boy.
Thanks, mum.
Thanks, mum, well done, for your opinions on footballers.
Enjoy the rest of the game. Lots of love. Pete.
Diggory Donaldson.
Banch.
Diggory. He doesn't love Diggory.
What do we think of Balotelli going to Liverpool?
I love all the Liverpool pundits about turns.
Yes.
Apparently Lawrenson, who said he was in the last chance saloon after he backheeled an effort in a friendly, is now saying, what a signing.
That was last... Was that the summer before last or something?
Yeah, he was like, he's in the last chance saloon. What, because he tried to backheel in a friendly game?
I think, I mean, 16 million...
Yeah.
You'd never have thought 2 years ago he'd go for that much.
I'm pleased that he's back just because of entertainment, isn't it?
Well, he's pleased he's back. He said that he left England and he said it was a mistake and he shouldn't have gone back to Italy. That's what he said. I mean, he said a few things right enough.
But, it would have been great if we could have made his debut against City, wouldn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That would have been absolutely delicious. I thought some of the comments coming out of the Milan camp, I suppose this happens everywhere in the world, but Christian Vieri said it's the best bit of business Milan have ever done. And I'm thinking, well, you haven't clearly been watching them the last few years.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Kind of polite, mate. Come on, don't be so rude. That's really disrespectful, I think. I just think that's piss poor behaviour.
Yeah.
And
Vieri, though, what a header.
Hey.
What a header of the ball.
Indeed.
Yeah. Give him that at least.
Well, all right. Yeah, that's one all then for me.
Dean Wynn, that's Hall of Famer, no less.
He is.
Yeah. He speaks from authority.
Look, it doesn't matter how many headers and how many entries in any Hall of Fames. I just thought that was a bit poor.
There's never been a header of the ball since Vieri retired as good.
There we go.
Ponder that.
Voice at
Vieri at the
did they? I was watching that match. Did they always have? You know, they have like the players turning and walking to the cameras on Sky Sports.
Yeah.
Did they always have the managers do it as well?
Ooh.
Or is this new for the season?
I think BT Sports started doing it.
Right.
And I think
one-upmanship,
because it was the one that really hit home for me just how short Brendan Rodgers is.
Yeah, and he's like gone really informal. He's got like a training top on. The best thing about last night's football on Sky was, you know, it's the start of a very long night. Ed Chamberlain
going
asking
11 p.m.
Should we just crack off for a minute? Ed Chamberlain asking Jimmy Carragher the first question of the night. You know, is signing Mario Balotelli good business or a big gamble? And Jamie Carragher just sits there and goes, well, I think it's both, really. And I'm thinking, and you just see Ed's face go, oh, for Christ, it's the first 5 minutes.
Give us an answer.
Just give us an answer. And you just think, it's going to be a long night for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, right, for you. Did you read a friend of the show, Barry Glendening, wrote a thing in The Guardian about he went to Monday Night Football and was behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff. And he said that they get there at like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Ed Chamberlain must hate football at the end of the day with those two all the time. But it would be a fantastic footballing education with Carragher and Neville chatting away, you know. But
it was quite a fascinating article, wasn't it?
Yeah, indeed it was. Mm. Sorry, just one more little point about Balotelli's transfer. Inzaghi as well, going back to Milan, and Inzaghi was like, who's obviously Milan coach these days, was like, yeah, I think we're going to grow without him and blah, blah, blah. And he was piping up. I was like, if you were Balotelli, you don't need any more motivation, surely. Mm. But do you think he'll play him up the middle and maybe compromise Sturridge, or will he do what Suarez did, slightly to one side, or can he play both up there?
He's not a giving striker, is he? He's not a kind of what does he have, one assist in the season that he played in the Premier League, and that was the
important one. Was it just the one, was it?
Yeah, I think it was that one.
Saved himself.
It's a bit of a conundrum, really, because if you think of where Sturridge had his problems through Chelsea and then when it eventually came to Liverpool, he really benefited on finally being paid to play for the middle.
Yeah, so I don't think he'll compromise Sturridge.
No, so it would be difficult to do that. And you wonder whether Balotelli can... to be honest, I haven't seen Balotelli play often enough recently to know.
Yeah.
But I'll certainly be interested to find out. I mean, whether he just goes with the two up front, that's an option as well, I suppose. It depends.
I thought it was quite heartening to see Liverpool go 2-0 down and they still looked like their heads didn't drop at all. They still went for it.
I thought first half hour they were possibly the better team, actually.
Well, you know, Man City sort of counter-attacked. They almost did a Chelsea on them, I thought.
Yeah. City definitely look a bit fallible still. Just on the... sort of give you less than a clear answer on the Balotelli thing, but one thing I would say is to add
is that
Liverpool were very tactically flexible under Rodgers. They always have been. And so I'm sure Rodgers, who I think he's got his faults, but I think he's a pretty tactically adept coach... Mm. We'll probably find a way of fitting him in.
I think he's going to do all right.
Yeah, he's always scored goals.
I'm surprised people are so sceptical. I know he's
well for that price.
Yeah,
the amount of money that's been splashed on. Look how much money Manchester United have spent this close season. Yeah. 16 million now. Yeah. I mean, they'll be paying him a king's ransom, no doubt, and that's probably why he's back. But
the problem is, he's coming to replace a player who's not giving them any problem at all. So I mean, it's going to be difficult.
At least he doesn't get lengthy bans.
He's quiet as a mouse. I mean, it was good to see Gerrard just doing his three worldies. Attempts a match anything. I worry about his
one of them was really good though. I've seen one which was really good. I thought that was a fucking brilliant pass.
No, but actually trying to crack one in from about 30, 40 yards. It's just kind of like, even by his high standards, they were just like, wow, that's... I just worry about anything that sits up for him, he'll hit. Whether it be a plasma screen at home, a toddler's head, just anything that's going around about knee level, he must be thinking, I'm going to twat this.
When he gets really old, and all he'll do is play snooker in like the gentleman's club with his mates, he'll just take on pots every single time. He'll be a really frustrating bloke to play snooker. And when he plays bowls, he'll just smash the bowl down at the end of bowls. They try and smash them all up. Yeah. He'll do that every time.
Fair enough.
Moreno's competitive debut for Liverpool. I thought he played all right.
I thought he looked a good player. I thought he looked a little bit naive, and he was caught napping for the Jovetic first goal. And I appreciated the way that, because it was a terrible night for Liverpool with injuries as well. He carried on, didn't he? He had no subs left, and he twisted his ankle. He looked quite a nasty one, but he carried on. I thought he did okay as well.
I mean, he's kind of the expert of the last gasp kind of. Almost 2 foot each other.
He loves a slide tackle.
Yeah. But I think right at the end, he was still doing these sort of surging runs before he got absolutely clattered. Oh no, he didn't. He just stood up. He did a Michael Owen on the touchline, didn't he? Yeah. He just sort of went, ow.
Oh no. Yeah.
Ow, my foot.
Oh, we don't like to see that.
No, we don't.
Don't like to see that. And lastly, to Manchester United. They drew 1-1 away to Sunderland. Did you see that Usain Bolt wants to. Turn out now.
Move on that.
Wow. Not I mean, it was probably in the running order. I didn't read it myself, Luke.
I didn't.
I didn't give you that one. I slipped that one in.
Is it like that rugby?
Gone down well.
No, it hasn't, has it? No. Edit that out.
That's a pump in a lift.
That is a fart in a space boot.
No, but he is doing a bit of a Brent. He's saying, oh, yeah, I haven't spoken to Louis van Gaal yet, but, you know, I probably need to give him a call and all this.
Let's talk about
stuff.
The game.
Yeah. Or the signings.
Yeah. Well, if you want an indicator of just how big a club Man United are, the players they can still attract, even though they're not any form of European football.
Usain Bolt. People who aren't even footballers.
Exactly.
Well, that's how bad it is.
They transcended the sport.
People who aren't even footballers think they can turn out for them now.
They're going to sign Matthew McConaughey next.
I like how he speaks. There's a little whistle through the teeth.
Yeah.
Is that enough to play wing back at Manchester United? Probably not.
We'll find out. He's going to have to knock the fags on the end.
Rojo.
Yeah.
Has signed.
My problem
that means red.
My problem with Rocco is that I think.
It means red.
I understand that, yeah. My problem with Rocco is.
Let me stop you there, Luke.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Red.
Yeah, it means red.
I think people,
Red Angel.
I think people think he's tough because he's got a lot of tattoos and he looks like he might be tough, but I don't think he is tough.
Is this like Pete Donaldson?
He's got
a lot of tattoos.
Are you offering him out?
No, you can beat me in a fight, no question.
Public offering out?
No question.
What about a race?
Oh, you think you are so tough? I'm a jolly tough guy around here. I'll give you a big punch.
Yeah, Rocco had a good... he had a good World Cup.
Yeah.
But he's not been that brilliant beforehand.
He's certainly not come to my attention an awful lot before there. But I mean, that might say more about me than it does him.
I tell you what, the top sides in Portugal don't half do a lot of business, do they? Benfica and Porto.
Their scouting networks are unbelievable.
It is just ridiculous.
They pick up players all over
the place.
They
pick up some of the best players in South America and then flog them off. How much money they've got, I don't know. But they do not accept anything.
I swear they prop up the economy.
They do not.
They've got really complex. You ask someone like Andy Brassel about it. They've got worldwide scouting.
Well, Rocco, I mean, what did he go for? 16 million? Something like that. That's an absolute steal. They normally don't accept anything less than 30.
Yeah.
But isn't the tax really favourable in Portugal as well?
Don't know about the tax affairs of Portugal, Pete. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, you should.
I know. I'll research it for next week.
Let me do my tax in Portugal song.
That'll be at the end of the show.
Drop it in, yeah?
Yeah, drop it in.
Di Maria, though, he's gone. Is that a player they need? I mean, he's a great player.
It's one of those players that you can't return down when he becomes available, but I don't think he's the priority.
No.
That sort of position is not the priority, but he's such a good player. He's got three lungs, that boy.
He does.
Yeah.
Blimey, O'Reilly.
He's got three islands now. If they paid that much money out for the actual price.
Perhaps you should give one of those lungs to Luke Shaw. He seems to be unfit, isn't he? According to Louis Van
or Luke
Gaal.
Moore.
Louis Van Lung.
Lungy Van Hal.
Louis Van Gaal. Manchester United, they're not doing very well. We all know that. Philippe Auclair made an excellent point of late and said that if you look at...
I sound a bit French.
Don't be disrespectful to the great man.
I'm not being disrespectful.
Right.
I'll just wait for you to do the bloody quote. You're so slow.
No, I don't do French accents.
Okay, fine.
As we all know.
I think that's a very noble thing.
Thank you.
You know what they say about the definition of a true gentleman is a man who can play the accordion but doesn't. You've adapted that. A man who can do a French accent. And I suspect you can do one.
No, do you know what? I'm not very good at a French accent. Mm. But that's not the bleeding point, ladies and gentlemen. Philippe Auclair said that, or reminded us, of course, that when Van Gaal took over at Bayern Munich, the first couple of months of the season, they were about seventh or something like that, ended up winning the league. Mm. When he took over at Barcelona...
I actually took like a good few seasons to get anywhere.
But Van Gaal said that himself. He said I try and imbue a load of philosophies into my team, and it takes me ages for the players to take it on board. I give them so much information. I was thinking, just drip feed it in then. Don't do it all at once.
That's why I got rid of Rio Ferdinand. He's like, Lee just looks thick.
This is going to take me 6 years. And he's already mid-30s.
Yeah, give him an Harry.
Because
Harry's outside with his face pressed up against the flipping window.
Harry, just be careful when you sign Rio because of all the information. He can't really take that much. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Carl's already
gone. Okay, right. Yeah.
So it will be great to see Di Maria in the Premier League. In the Championship, Nottingham Forest have had a wonderful start. They beat Reading 4-0. Stuart Pearce, he's loving life down there.
What a start.
10 points out of 12, sitting top of the league.
Are you the only one surprised by that?
You are.
Stuart Pearce is not a very good manager.
At a certain level.
It will be fairy tale stuff if he takes it at the Premier League.
It would be magnificent.
I will... Oh, man. My head will explode.
I'll put something out there right now. He will be gone by March.
Outrageous.
That's an easy claim to make.
Reading are dreadful. Reading have hardly got any players. They are dreadful.
They've had a few other wins. Gone by March.
Ten out of 12 possibles.
Yeah, you know. Gone by March.
Yeah. The thing is, the knives will be out for you, Luke. But that's fine. That's why you're here. We need someone to put their head on the chopping block.
I still get... what Malky Mackay or the League Managers Association would call banter about Andre Voronin. And that was 2008.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the Arsenal centre-back.
Don't worry about that. Norwich, they won against Ipswich. The Canaries winning the East Anglian derby.
Always a good win.
A good win. Fiercely contested derby. Yeah.
Norwich look really happy about things at the moment. They've had a stinking time of late. Yeah. And they're starting to pick up the pieces.
They're doing right. Wolves are having a lovely old time in the Championship. They've had 9 points. They're in fourth. So great start for them.
Mm. They beat Cardiff as well, who obviously came down last year.
Absolutely.
So big win.
Derby beat Fulham. They came down as well.
Absolutely shocking.
And it looks like they might tumble into another division.
Phoenix McGat. What is he doing? So Gary Birtles on the Scott, who's a bit of a dickhead for another reason, which I won't go into. I've probably told you about it before. But Phoenix McGat is apparently, according to Gary Birtles...
I don't remember either, listeners, but that's fine.
Making them have 3 training sessions a day. 11, 2 and 5.
But that's
he said they don't get the football till 5 p.m.
Oh my goodness.
That's what Birtle said.
Somebody who's played on him said that he does that, but he doesn't have any of the conditioning that kind of goes along with it, actually making sure that the players... He just hammers them, and the players don't really have the resources to deal with it, and they don't really have... He doesn't really have rest time and stuff.
Risa said something recently, I think, on maybe Norwegian TV, and he was just like, his methods are so archaic.
Mm. Right. And you said that he played... Look, I forget who it was now, but I'm pretty sure he played a wide man in the middle of the park against Derby, who are the best team in the league.
The only player that he's still playing from last season is Scott Parker.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head.
Scott Parker scored, didn't he?
He did.
And he's, 33 now? And all the other players were really
34,
young.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think all the
other
McCormack's really
in there. I mean, again, big, huge signing.
Is he 12 mil? Something like that.
11 or 12, yeah. Oh, it's Fulham, did it?
It's just weird. It smacks of, you know, when you've gone down in football manager or something, you just sort of go, I'll just put the youth team in and just see if something, diamond comes up, makes me a bit of money.
What do Fulham do? If they sack him, who are they going to get?
Exactly.
And even if they do get something, you're inheriting a squad, a lot of young players.
But he's been so bad, I reckon
it's such a mess.
Fulham are a London club, I reckon they could probably improve on McGat.
It's such a mess. Do you know what I wouldn't mind if McGat does go?
Sherwood.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Brian McDermott.
Yeah.
Nice man, nice club.
Yeah. He'd have his life, wouldn't it?
Yeah. He'd have lovely times.
Yeah. He'd have lovely
strolling
times.
Along that river. We know what it's like. It's beautiful down there.
Yeah.
The man needs
it. Because you live
near that there, that's why.
Yeah, and I'm closer to QPR these days, actually.
I ran past it today. It was raining, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, good. I'm sure that enjoyed you as well.
Always a good time down the cottage. What about League One? Is it a good time? Careful, down there. MK Dons, they drew 0-0 with Coventry City. But Coventry City will be returning home to the Rioch Arena in September after agreeing a 2-year deal.
The Rioch Arena.
Rico Arena.
That's Bruce Rioch.
Bruce Rioch.
He's
letting them back in his house.
Yeah.
The Rico Arena, of course, after the stadium operators ACL.
Which is great to see, I think we all agree.
Yeah.
It's just such a just waste of everyone's time, I think. Silly.
I know.
Silly billies.
I know. What about Fleetwood Town? Little mensch to them.
Mm. Yeah, they've got great guns. They're top of the league, are they?
They're top of the league with 10 points after 4 games. They've had 6 promotions in 10 years because their owner, whose name escapes me, has put £15 million in or something in the last number of years. They're called the Fishermen. I like that.
Yeah, they selected all right last season. It looks like they've carried on where they've left off. Mm.
But Portsmouth, who did they beat? Cambridge?
They won again. They beat Oxford.
But they've done the double, the university double.
Yeah. Have a bit of that.
Take that.
As a champagne socialist, you remember that.
Wrap your scarf around that.
Cycled diligently through that.
I actually said that on Twitter as a joke.
Yeah.
And a particle physicist from Cambridge, I forget his name,
said, fuck off, Lukey.
Yeah. Stick that twat up your...
Yeah. Not a punt, no.
Speaking of such accents, Scottish Premiership time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what did I say last week? I said Inverness, Caledonian Thistle were the team to beat. Well, what did they do at the weekend? They beat the Celts 1-0.
The boys. Beat the boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's on. It is bloody on. I mean, Hamilton, Kilmarnock and Dundee United, they all won. So Celtic are struggling down in fifth place.
Yeah. I'd be very surprised if they finished any higher than that.
Does Celtic have one eye on the Scottish Championship?
Yeah, that's the place to be.
Well, it might not be because the magnificent Heart of Midlothian have zoomed to the top of the league with 3 wins out of 3. They beat Raith Rovers 4-0. They're wanting a crack at the second big time now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rangers won, but Queen of the South, they drew, so they cling on to second spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always worth reminding people that Queen of the South are one of the very few teams that are mentioned in the Bible.
Corinthians. So,
Corinthians are another one.
Yeah.
Speaking of Queens of the South, we did mention that Kerr woman who became the manager of, is it Stirling University? The one league below the conference, the Scottish Conference, or whatever they call it nowadays.
They drew 1-0, didn't they, in their first game?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she's the first female coach in the UK, is that right? Am I right?
In men's football, certainly.
In men's football,
Oh, good. Nice one, Peter. Yeah. Love that. Now,
actually, the first time I watched BT Sport ever... Like, bear in mind, I missed it. Every single match on BT Sport I missed last season. I don't know how I managed to do it. But the first match I watched was the England-Wales ladies match. And
England
good
4-0,
God,
they
were brilliant.
Yeah.
They were really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a bit of
it on the radio. What on team. Mm. Let's go quickly to La Liga, where Atletico Madrid, they beat Real Madrid in the Spanish Super Cup final. Mario Mandzukic getting the winner for his new club in the second leg. That's decent, isn't it? That's a good replacement for Diego Costa. And, of course, they lost David Villa as well.
Simeone was absolutely beside himself.
Simeone's picked up where he left off.
Yeah.
If you remember the Champions League final.
I'm not believe, but I'm still really angry.
Yeah, he managed to get himself an 8-match touchline ban for repeatedly going out the technical area and applauding sarcastically and patting the fourth official on the head.
Which is my favourite bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I feel Pardew does it, it's different, isn't it?
I love you in a way. Pardew would have headbutted him.
Yeah. They dropped 2 points in their opening league match. Not a good start. They also lost, of course, Courtois, Adrian and Felipe Luis. They've lost a lot of players.
David Villa chucked in as well.
Yeah, we said that, yeah. David Villa, of course, he's gone to, it's the States via Australia.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, a Griezmann they've got, the French
forward player. Yeah, he came in summer, didn't he? Yeah.
But I'm pleased they got Mandzukic. I think it's a good move for him and a good move for them.
Mandzukic is always one of those players who's a lot younger than I think he is. Seems like he's been around for absolutely ages.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't really remember a time when he's not been playing.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Real Madrid and Barcelona got off to winning starts. Of course they did. More on La Liga probably in the coming weeks, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Italy quickly. Serie A's underway next weekend, but the Coppa Italia has begun.
Oh, and Tony Christmas.
Antonio Di Natale. I can't remember if we mentioned this or not, because just before the end, or just before the World Cup, he said that he's going to give it another year.
Yeah.
He's going to give us another year of him because we talked about his retirement and what a shame it was. But he's staying on, and Udinese beat Tanana of Serie B 5-1 with 36-year-old Antonio Di Natale scoring a haul.
Incorrect. Scoring a glut. Haul is 4. Glut is 5.
He scored 4.
He scored 5. He scored all 5.
Talk to your mate James Horncastle.
I thought he scored all 5.
No, he scored 4.
Oh, what happened to the other one then?
No.
Some
of the articles will be false.
Yeah, right.
So one of them said 5, but according to Mr. Horncastle on Twitter, he scored 4, and a couple of articles said he scored 4.
Well, I couldn't see all the goals on the internet.
Yeah.
I could only see the amazing chip he scored, which is a beauty.
Yeah.
But I read in several sources that he scored all 5.
Well, he scored 4 or 5, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard 6.
Yeah.
He got the other goal.
Who cares? Yeah. Just enjoy it.
Even if he scored four.
Ridiculous. He's the Kevin Phillips of Italy.
Oh, my goodness. Just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Mm. What about AC Milan? They're looking to sign... Now, they've got four strikers they've got their eyes on. This is an Italian friend of mine told me this today. Torres is one.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Soldado's another one.
That makes sense as well.
Fabio Barini.
Okay, yeah. What's wrong with that?
Mitroglou.
Mitroglou would probably be offloaded for quite cheap, though, wouldn't he?
Surely. This is Milan. Torres and Soldado are the types... They're what you're after, really. I mean, Barini's a good player, but... Yeah. So I'm going to try and get you back on track and all that.
I know what you're saying.
Zero,
but Mitroglou's record was very good before he went to Fulham.
Before he ruined...
He was quite sought after. People were surprised at the time that he went to Fulham.
Yeah, maybe.
Getting
back on track. Also, you remember Joseph Manala?
Yes.
The Lazio youth player.
18 years old.
Yeah. Bari have got him on a year's loan deal. What I loved about this is the article said the Cameroonian forward is officially 18. They're still not sure.
Officially 18.
Why do you need to say that?
You don't say that about any other human being.
Antonio Di Natale is officially 36.
It's like he's an old Hollywood actress.
Yeah, exactly.
She's 72. She's 90.
Well, didn't Mourinho last season have a go at Eto'o sort of going that he can't? Could be 33 or 36. Who knows?
Eto'o might be going to Everton.
Cheers, boss.
Thanks, fella.
Shut up!
Don't tell Everton, they're about to sign him.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, blimey, I wrote it. Oh, did you see, it was just last week, the Rwandan striker, the guy from Rwanda, hang on, I've got it written down somewhere. Daddy Barori is his name. This was from, I think, last week. He's been accused of being two people.
Wow.
So, yeah, apparently...
A daddy and a Barori.
Yeah. Well, he's 27-year-old Barori for his for the national side. But then there's talk that he may be 23-year-old Ajiti for a club site, AS Vita. And officials want the two allegedly different players to be in the same
amazing,
room together.
Amazing. I'll just go and get him. I'll just go get my girlfriend.
Can you play... are you available for selection Saturday? Depends. Have you got the fixture list there? They're playing Sunday. Yeah, I'm around.
Dave, we've still got that mirror.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that story of the guy...
Daddy Dave, we've still got that mirror.
I'm sketching the details here because I wasn't planning on talking about this, clearly.
Yeah.
But there were two twins who did a half marathon each. And one ran into a public toilet.
Class.
And his twin, identical twin, came out and finished the race. And they broke a record. I forget which record and I forget which marathon it was. But they only were found out because they had slightly different watches on.
Because they were both on the podium.
Who's watching them so closely?
I think what happened was the athlete or athletes came from nowhere. No one was expecting them to win.
Right, okay.
And they thought, that's a bit odd. And they checked it out and then someone noticed that they had
it's
different
stupid,
watches
isn't it? It shows how hungry...
Could have changed the watch.
No, but it's
the details we've got to get right.
But the thing is, though, like, build up to it.
Yeah.
Like, finish a decent... Yeah. You know, if you're going to cheat...
That Rwanda striker is the equivalent of the Del Boy Only Fools and Horses episode when he has a date with two women on the same night. And he's going to go to the toilet and he legs it to the other restaurant.
Or the Vicar of Dibley, where she has to have loads of Christmas dinners.
Yes.
It's just like that, I assume.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Di Natale dinners.
Now it's time for Pete's mystery voiceover game.
Oh, Pete, last week's was a very good one.
Incredible.
No.
Still got guests, though, didn't it? Unbelievable.
How many?
Two people got it right. So we're getting a little bit better.
I think about 12 got it right last time,
Here is the mystery voice again.
Dan had that for myself beter geweest, ook in de keuzes die ik gemaakt heb tijdens mijn carrière.
So, did you guys have any sort of, you know?
I did have a guess, and I can't remember now.
I mean, Luke knows who it is, but but Marcus, you're kind of in the dark, aren't you?
I know who it is because I do all Pete's admin.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, it's definitely a Dutchman.
Okay, is it though? Because I couldn't.
Well, you've got the answer.
Well, I know it is. I know it's a Dutchman. I know it's a bloody Dutchman. Yeah. Anyway, I'll get on with the emails. The first guy calls himself Mark, and his email says, "I'm almost sure that the voice was from Brian Roy."
Oh, nice!
To be honest, though, I am Dutch, so I guess I did have an advantage. Oh. Some slightly interesting facts: Roy played under Van Gaal at Ajax and played at Nottingham Forest, but you probably knew that. What you probably didn't know is that he was married to Nada Van Nie, who was kind of a looker back in the day. Thanks for that. And played in one or two semi-erotic movies. But nudity was quite common in Dutch movies around that time. So it's not actually a porn star out. No. From what I remember, Roy was one of the players that was sacrificed under Van Gaal, even though he's a bit of a favourite of the fans. Thanks for the podcast, guys. Mark, thank you, Mark, for getting involved. The other guy to get right was Edwin van Dalen. Thank you, Edwin.
He also sounds Dutch.
Edwin van Dalen, yeah, definitely. A few, apparently we missed from last week's answer, was, of course, Sean Gorta. One was Peter Mellor, and Luke couldn't find the other
two,
unfortunately.
Yeah, let me clear this up. Three people piped up, and with proof, with the screenshots of their email, that they got the Sean Gorta one the week before.
Right.
So I said I'd read them out.
Some of them came in later than the actual when the ramble went out. Which is, so try, you know, Monday night, so we're probably not going to get them.
Peter thingy, was it Peter Mellor?
It was, Peter Mellor.
Yeah, he was one of them, and two others.
Yeah.
You know who you are. Consider this your mention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, and
it was Luke's first week of admin, see?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting quite that many emails.
He was warming up to it.
Well, we forgot to mention as well that last week, all the people that you read out, and the two chaps who sound Dutch here, they're all now officially friends of the football.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to make it harder this week.
Yeah, so you can put that on your Twitter profile that you're friends with the Well, I have made it harder this week, Luke, and indeed Marcus, and the rest of the listening populace. It's this.
And,
my giddy aunt.
A very short, short clip, so I'm making it harder, you know.
I'm saying nothing. I don't want to give any clues.
No.
And,
I don't know the answers.
It's definitely someone, though.
No.
It's definitely someone. Well, great stuff, Pete.
Well, get your emails into voice@thefootballramble.com for that, and we shall, of course, read out the correct answers, and if no one gets it right, we'll roll it over to the next week.
Yes.
And while I'm on that subject, just quickly before we go to the highlights of the week, don't forget to go to betfair.com/footballramble before the end of August to sign up for a Betfair account. If you do that as a reward for you helping to keep the ramble free and supporting us, this is not a Betfair competition or anything, we decided to do this ourselves, we will offer you a PS4 and FIFA 15 to one lucky person that signs up. So you've still got time to do that. It's, what is it, the 26th or 27th today, whenever you listen to this, probably. Do it by the end of August for a chance to win a PS4 and FIFA 15. Betfair.com/football ramble.
And we were able to afford that particular prize because Jim left some of his belongings in the studio and we pawned them off.
All of his belongings.
All of his belongings.
Now it's time for your highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Can we get a jingle for that? Let's get it in there.
Yeah, get a jingle in there.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, fine.
Far away, Luke.
First up, Kevin Hoare, who's at Ukulele Kev.
Yep.
He says, my highlight of the week was the half-time announcer at MK Dons telling fans that there was a queue outside for Man United tickets while the game was on.
Wow.
True support.
Wow.
Yeah. Donaldo at Dulux99.
That's because, they got them in the cup.
Exactly. They're playing tonight, I think. Donaldo at Dulux99 says, under-9's team I coached lost 3-0 in the final, but we got the last laugh when their captain tripped over when lifting the trophy.
Yes.
Hashtag tears.
Yeah.
what else have we got here? Ben says, Taylor attempting to run on as a straight sub for the sent-off Williamson again for Newcastle.
Incredible. Incredible.
Fitz Galactic Keegan's Dumb and Dummett nickname.
That nice. Boy is the biggest idiot in the world.
Mm. Graham Corking says, Barry Davis savouring the word Zarate.
Yes.
A true treat for the senses. I agree on that. Maz says, spending hours on YouTube for funny Balotelli moments, e.g. him Tevez getting very angry at his inability to understand gift wrapping. You'll have more of that to come, Maz, when Balotelli comes.
This is why people think you're stupid. He's, I'm not stupid.
Yeah,
it's adorable.
Yeah. Alex Murphy says, not really a highlight, but anyway, at Palace for the first home game of the season, a guy next to us walked past and I noticed a tenner on the floor.
Ooh.
I leant past my friends to give it back to the man to do my good deed for the day. Later on in the evening, I realised I'd given the bloke my friend's tenner. She wasn't very happy.
That's so weird. The bloke, hey, I have that. Oh, cheers.
Thanks.
Craig McGough says, Ibar winning the Basque Derby has to be worth a mention. You know, that very small Spanish side have been promoted to the top flight.
Mm. That's right.
They actually won their first game. Great to see. Look it up on that internet if you want. We've got a few more here just quickly. Alexander Nicholson, Dwight York getting his Tia Marias and B Marias mixed up.
No, he didn't, did he?
Hashtag loving retirement.
Lovely job.
Lovely.
Yeah, Tia Maria just means Auntie Mary.
There you go.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's probably what's named after. Matt Tucker says, Man United fans cheering, we do what we want. Apparently what they want is a 1-1 draw at Sunderland. but I think that's probably a reference to the stewards asking to sit down, because Man United fans don't take a sit down, do they?
Okay, right.
Duncan Stevenson, the Manchester United schadenfreude, it feels so good against my skin. I'll finish off with these two. George Wixer, 32-year-old Lee Cook, formerly of Watford and QPR, scoring his first career hat-trick in one half against Dartford for Barnet.
Nice.
Sublime. Agree on that. Ben Steele says, I had a dream last night. I got the England job. Luke was livid about it on the ramble. Not so much a highlight as a cautionary tale for the FA. More of those next week. Cheers for that.
Excellent stuff. Jim should be back next week.
We hope so.
So if you're fans of his, then that's good news. And if you're not, then we'll see you same time next year.
I don't know where his microphone is. Yes.
We have to
find it. Been away for so long.
Not to worry. Yes, of course, if you want to get in touch, then the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The email for the mystery voice is voice@thefootballramble.com.
And betfair.com/footballramble for all your PS4 potential winnings.
Yes, and if you want to hear live Barclays Premier League commentary with John Champion and probably a co-commentator as well in the commentary box at St James's Park, it's going to be Newcastle United versus Crystal Palace. So if Newcastle United can score a goal this season, it's probably going to be at home against Crystal Palace. So join them on 12:15 AM and online absoluteradio.co.uk if you fancy a bit of that.
It'll be 0-0.
It'll be a nothing result. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye,
Say
Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, guys.
And it's goodbye from me, doll faces.
All right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.